From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with an episode of The Green Hornet, one of three radio series created by George W. Trendle and Fran Stryker of radio station WXYZ in Detroit. The series premiered on WXYZ in 1936 and went national when it was picked up by Mutual in 1938. Eventually, the Green Hornet moved to the NBC Blue Network and its successors, the Blue Network and ABC. This broadcast is from November 17th of 1946, episode 783 in the series, which ran through 1952. Bob Hall portrays the Green Hornet, who was, in reality, newspaper publisher Britt Reed. The episode, The Quiz Program Clue. The Green Hornet rides again on the Upstate Radio Theater.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game. Public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, The Quiz Program Clue. The Green Hornet strikes again! Transport truck rolled along the highway from the Ace Motor Car Factory, located several miles outside the city. The truck, carrying four Ace cars, was headed for the city docks. As they drove through the darkness along a stretch of the highway, the driver spoke to his helper.
Someday I'm going to own one of these Aces, Ed. Yeah, they're sure putting out a neat job.
With an Ace selling for $2,000, I'll stick to my old jalopy for a while.
A lot of people would pay as high as $3,000 to get one of these right now.
Oh, you're not kidding. Well, I heard of a guy who... Hey, look. A red lantern hung in a barrier up ahead. The road must be under repair.
It was open last night. I guess I better stop.
I was right, Joe. Says road under repair, detour.
Well, that road to the left looks okay. We'll have to try it anyway.
Yeah, let's get going.
I wonder where this brings us out.
I don't know. Better take it easy. It's kind of bumpy along here.
This road don't look like it's been traveled much lately.
Hey, look. There's another red lantern up ahead. Must be another detour sign.
Maybe that's where we turn off onto a different highway that'll lead into the city.
Hey, hold it, Joe. That lantern's hung in a board stretch right across the road.
Well, I'll be...
Well, now what do we do? We can't turn around on this narrow road with this long truck.
You got me. I don't get this. Let me get out and look around.
Hold on, Bill.
What the...
Hey, Joe.
Shut up, you. I'm covering you from this side.
Hey, Joe, it's a holdup.
Okay, you guys, climb out and make it fast.
Come on, Ed. Do what they say.
Okay. Can't let them get away with this.
Now maybe you'll tell us just what... Holy cats. Look, Ed. It's a Green Hornet.
Yeah. And you know I mean business. Come here, Squint.
What are we going to do with them, Bull?
You're not going to do anything, you dirty hijacking crooks. Look out, Joe.
Shut up, you.
I'll show you.
Okay, bud. You asked for...
The following morning, in the city room of the Daily Sentinel, Britt Reed, young publisher of the paper, was discussing the holdup with Mike Axford and Gunnigan.
You say the police haven't found any trace of the crooks, Axford?
Nope. You ought to know, Reed, how that Hornet always covers up his trail. And they know he's the leader of the gang. The helper told him that.
They left the truck trailer on the side road where they pulled the job. Must have run the new cars off under their own power.
Sure. That's just about the way they did it. Believe me, Sarge says they'll do everything they can to run down that Hornet now, and they won't let up till they do. Then he'll hang for murder.
It's too bad about that driver.
Yeah, that's he. Of course, the load was insured, so neither the trucking company or the Ace Motor Company will lose anything.
That's right. I was over to see Mr. Danford at the trucking company this morning, and he's all upset about the driver.
Well, who's Mr. Danford, actually?
The general manager of the trucking company.
Oh, I see.
Want to run a box notice on the front page offering the $25,000 reward for the capture of the Green Hornet, Chief?
Yes, yes, of course, Gunnigan.
To my way of thinking, it would almost be a shame if they did catch the Hornet. It would be a blow to the Sentinel.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, how come he made a crack like that?
Oh, I mean that Hornet gives us plenty of headlines, that's all.
Oh.
Oh, you and your bright ideas. You better get down to Cops headquarters and see if you can come up with something worthwhile in that case.
Yes, Axford. And if you get any new angles, let me know.
Okay, Reed. I'll go right on down and see if the cops have turned up anything new. See you later. So long.
Things were quiet around police headquarters until late in the afternoon. Then Sergeant Burke took a phone call.
Police headquarters.
This is Charles Renton. I'm assistant to Mr. Danford at the auto trucking company.
Oh, yes, Mr. Renton. What can we do for you?
I want to speak to Inspector Evans, please.
Sorry. Inspector's out right now, but he'll be back soon.
Oh, I see. Will you tell the inspector I have some vital information on the truck robbery and killing?
You have?
Yes. I can't talk over the phone. I'll come right down to see the inspector. Ask him to wait for me when he comes in.
You bet I will, sir.
Good. I'll leave in a few minutes. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Great day. Maybe we'll be getting a break.
What's it all about, Sarge?
Huh? Hey, Mike. Why don't you stay in the press room with the rest of them instead of hanging around out here with your ears open?
Can I help it if I just happen to be here when Renton from the trucking company calls for the inspector I'd like to know?
Huh? You didn't miss much, did you?
What's he want the inspector for, Sarge?
Well, I guess I might as well tell you before you bust a button. Renton's coming down to see the inspector. Says he has vital information about the car robbery and killer.
Suffering snakes. When's he coming?
Said he's leaving right away. I'm just as curious as you are, Mike. The only thing we can do is wait and hope for a break.
Inspector Evans returned shortly after Renton had called. It was an hour later when Evans approached the desk and questioned Sergeant Burke.
Are you sure Renton said he was coming right down here, Sergeant?
Yes, sir, that's just what he said. That was over an hour ago. I tried to get his office on the phone like you told me to, but I guess the place is closed. There's no answer.
Golly, he should have been here long ago.
That's right, he should. I wonder if...
Inspector, we just got a call from car 301 about a wreck out on the boulevard.
What kind of a wreck?
Private car ran off the road, smashed up in a ditch. Identified as a guy named Renton.
Renton?
Yeah, and that isn't all. He had a bullet hole in his head. The guy's dead.
When Axford called in and told of the new development, Rick Reed stayed on at the Sentinel. It was after 8 o'clock when Axford came into the city room where Britt was talking to Gunnigan.
Hi, Reed. What did you think of Renton's killing?
It certainly gave us a scoop on that one, Axford.
Have the cops found out anything more, Mike?
Well, they got a clue over at Renton's office. I went along when the inspector went over there. They got Danford to meet us there to let us in.
What happened? What's the clue?
I'll tell you just what happened over there, Reed. We were in Danford's office where the inspector was asking him some questions.
You happen to know Mr. Danford just when Mr. Renton left his office?
Yes, I do. As you see, his office is next to mine. And I usually leave my door standing open.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 minutes to five, he came out of his office, said he had to keep an appointment in town. Then he left. I left at 5:30 and drove home. I didn't know what had happened until you phoned me.
I see. Do you have any idea why he wanted to see me?
No, of course not. I was surprised to learn his appointment was with you, Inspector.
Excuse me, Inspector, but we found something in Renton's office.
What is it?
Sarge says it's a clue, Inspector. Look, I found this memo pad. Looks like Renton wrote a name down and then tore off the sheet. But look here. The impression's there just as plain as daylight.
Let me see it. Yes, it's plain, all right. Capital C-O-N-R-A-D. Conrad.
Holy crow. All you got to do is find the guy with that name.
Sure, that's all. But where?
Sir Danford, do you know anyone by that name?
No, Inspector. I can truthfully say I do not.
Conrad could be either a first or a last name. But in this case, I'd say it's a last name.
What are we going to do about it, Inspector?
Put a plainclothesman in Renton's office. We'll go through his files, see if there's any correspondence from anyone by that name.
Yes, sir.
If I can help in any way, please let me know.
Thank you, I will. Now we'll get back to headquarters and start a hunt for the mysterious Mr. Conrad.
So you see, Reed, the cops did pick up a clue. Now all they got to do is find Conrad and they'll break the case, maybe.
Maybe is right. Just because that name was found on that pad don't mean that the guy by that name had anything to do with the killing, Mike.
Well, the cops are hunting him high and low just the same.
I hope they find him. May be able to throw some light on the case at any rate. It's fortunate you were still at headquarters when the call came in, Axford. Got a scoop out of it.
Sure. It's a funny thing, too. When I saw it was 5 o'clock, I started to leave. Then I hung around a few minutes more to gab with Sarge. So I was standing right there when Renton called.
I see.
I'll grab a bite to eat, then I'll go back and see if the cops have picked up that guy, Conrad.
A good idea, Axford. Well, I've overstayed my time. I guess I'll run along home. If you get anything, call me at home.
Okay, Chief. Good night.
So long, Reed.
Good night.
Britt Reed left the Sentinel building and went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. After a hasty dinner, Britt and Cato sat in the living room discussing the hijacking case and Renton's murder.
Fortunately, Cato, the people of this city have voted in an efficient city government. The police are doing a good job on the Renton case.
But if not good, police think Green Hornet, leader of gang who steal new autos and kill truck driver, Mr. Britt.
I know.
Well, you think same ones who hold up truck also kill Renton?
That's a definite connection. Cato, turn on the radio. It's almost time for the news broadcast.
Oh, yes, sir.
Somehow they knew Renton found out something and was going to the police. So they followed and killed him. There's a smart man behind it all, whoever he is.
And now here's another contestant on our new and exciting program, Scramble for Your Dough. Just to make sure
well,
he
that's
understands
a new one.
How we play
yes,
out,
sir.
Explain once more. You have 10 seconds.
Contests are all the rage.
Oh, people make plenty of money.
Then by looking at the large facsimile of a phone dial, convert all the numbers into letters. Then you have 1 minute to make as many words as you can from the 6 letters you get.
Sounds easy.
For 1 word, you earn $2, and for 2 words, $4, and so on. And for a grand prize at the end of the program, the one making the most words from his number will receive $100. All right, now, when I
shut it off,
Kim.
Yes, sir.
Select your number.
You not want to hear news, Mr. Britt?
Cato, that program gave me an idea. And coupled with something else that came into my mind, it may lead to the solution of the hijacking case and to Renton's murderer. We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. After hearing a quiz type of radio program, Britt said that it gave him an idea for solving a Renton case. Cato was puzzled. He thought a moment and then asked,
"Well, how'd a program give you such an idea, Mr. Britt?"
"It set me thinking, Cato. The idea of that program was to convert the phone numbers into letters and then to make words."
"Yes, sir, that's right."
"Now, the same thing would act in reverse, converting six letters into a phone number."
"I don't understand why
The whole police force are hunting a man named Conrad. Because that name was found by an impression on Renton's scratch pad. Remember?"
"Yes, sir."
"It could have been the code for a phone number, and Renton found out. Let's look at the telephone dial."
"Well, here, phone.
Let's see now. The CO would, of course, be the exchange. Then we have N or 6, R or 7, A or 2, and D or 3. Get it?"
"Yes, sir. That'd be CO6723.
Exactly. Get the phone book."
"Oh, yes, sir. Here, phone book.
Let's see. There's a list of exchanges in the front. Here they are."
"What'd you find?"
"There's only one exchange with the CO letters, the Cornell exchange. That number could be Cornell's 6723.
"Well, why you not tell police about idea, Mr. Britt?"
"I'll check on it first. Anyway, as the Green Hornet, I'd like to close in on the killers and show them and others that nobody will get away with posing as the Hornet."
"You say a while ago something else came into your mind. You not say what it was."
"I may be quite wrong, Cato. So I won't commit myself until I've proved my point. And right now, tonight, is the time to try to prove it."
"We go out in Black Beauty, perhaps?"
"Yes. Come on."
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
"You not say where we're going, Mr. Britt?"
"Before I know just where we are to go, Cato, I want to stop in the vicinity of a drugstore. Then I'm going to make a few phone calls."
"Yes, sir. What other calls you make besides 1-2 number we find?"
"The other calls will depend upon the outcome of my call to that number. We'll find a drugstore as quickly as you can."
"Yes, sir. I step on it."
"Yeah,
Let's see now. That number we got is CO6723. I'll try it and see what I get. Here goes. Hello.
I got a message from the boss.
Well, hold on a minute. Hey, Bull, come here.
Yeah? Who is it, Squint?
I don't know. Some guy says he has a message from the boss. Seems sort of funny to me.
Well, if he's got this number, he must be calling for the boss. Let me have it. Hello? Who are you? What do you want?
You can call me Green. I got a message, like I told that other guy. The boss wanted me to call.
Yeah? And why didn't he call himself?
The cops are working too close to him. Now, listen. He wants you to lay low with those hot cars.
Yeah.
Be sure not to try to call him. That Renton deal brought out the whole force at cops headquarters.
I told him it was risky. Okay, Green, we'll be careful. Thanks for the tip-off.
Right. So long.
Bye.
Was it on a level, Bull?
Yeah, it seemed like it. He didn't ask no questions or nothing. But just to make sure, I'm going to skim over to the boss's house and check. Keep the boys busy on them cars till I get back.
Inspector Evans speaking.
Hello, Inspector. This is Britt Reed.
Oh, yes, Mr. Reed. What can I do for you?
Axford told me about that name, Conrad, you found on the path.
Oh, yes. We haven't turned up anything yet.
Listen, Inspector, I was listening to a quiz program on the radio a while ago, and it gave me an idea. I thought I'd pass it on to you for what it may be worth.
Of course. Glad to hear about it.
It gave me the idea that the word Conrad might be a code for a telephone number. You know, the CO, and the four numbers that correspond to the phone dial. The result I found to be CO6723. You can get the location of that phone from the phone company and check on what you might find there.
Yes, we'll do that, Mr. Reed. It's one idea that hadn't occurred to us. I'll have the location of that phone checked right away.
Good. I felt I ought to call you about it. It sort of bothered me. It may result in a wild goose chase, but I thought it worth a try.
Glad you did call. We'll check. Let's hope we run out of something. Thanks a lot, Mr. Reed. Goodbye.
Goodbye. He'll be interested enough when his men find out what is there. Now for one more call. Hope he's at home now. Mr. Danford?
Yes, who's calling?
This is Britt Reed, publisher of the Daily Sentinel.
Oh, yes, Mr. Reed. What can I do for you?
I wondered if your company had a recent photograph of Mr. Renton. Something we could use in our paper.
No, I'm sorry. The only picture I know of was the one on his desk. The police took that.
I see. I was thinking of sending you over one of our reporters to interview you, perhaps tomorrow. How late are your offices open?
The office force is here until 5. That is, I suppose.
Yes, of course. By the way, perhaps you'd like to know the police think they've found out where the Hornet and his gang are hiding with the stolen cars. I expect to hear that they've closed in on them any time now.
Well, that is news. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome, I'm sure. My reporter will be in to see you tomorrow, if you're willing.
Yes. Yes, of course. Goodbye, Mr. Reed.
Goodbye. Well, he sure was in a hurry to cut me off. Now for the wind-up.
Bull, what are you doing here? Come in.
I come to check about that guy you had call us, boss.
I didn't have anyone call you.
What were you packing your suitcase for? Taking a run-out powder on us?
No. No, of course not. I have a little trip to make, a business trip for just a day or two. But tell me, what was it you said about someone calling the old garage?
A guy named Green. Said you told him to call and tell us to lay low. You just said you didn't have anyone calling. Did I hear you wrong?
I did not have anyone calling. Well, you suppose...
Yeah, I was just thinking. Somebody's wise to the phone number.
That settles it. I've got to get away, and fast.
So you were skimming out, huh?
I was coming by the garage for you, Bull. Believe
yeah?
me. We can leave together now. I'd better finish packing, then we'll... Bull. Don't come any further into the room.
Oh, what's cooking? What are you staring at?
That open window in the back bedroom. I noticed it as I walked over to my suitcase. A figure came through it. But he hasn't seen you. Edge over and stand behind the bedroom door. Have your gun handy.
Right. You go on backing.
There. That's ready.
Going someplace, Stanford?
What? Green Hornet.
Right. You and your gang can't use my disguise and get away with it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop edging toward the door. Stand where you are.
And you stand where you are, Hornet.
What?
So you were ready for me, eh? The presence of this mug definitely ties you in with Retton's murder, Danford.
Listen to him, shooting off his mouth about riddles.
I happen to know the cops are on their way to your hideout right now.
Strange. Newspaper publisher by the name of Britt Reed told me the same thing over the phone a while ago.
What are you talking about?
That sets me thinking, Hornet. And putting two and two together...
So you got a tip-off from a newspaper guy, huh, Danford? And you were figuring on leaving us to take the rap. Why, you dirty double cross.
No, wait, Bull. Let me tell you what I've discovered. The Green Hornet is...
That's what dirty double-crossers get, Danford. And now you'll get it, Hornet.
You not shoot Hornet.
Oh, my shoulder.
This gas will ease your pain.
Danford dead, Mr. Britt. Crook not wait to hear what Danford have to say.
Lucky for me that he didn't. Danford was just about to expose me. He was smart enough to connect me with Britt Reed. Should have been more careful. Let's get away from here before the police come.
You have very narrow escape, Mr. Britt.
Something coming over the shortwave radio. Listen.
Calling all cars in vicinity of City Apartments. All cars in vicinity of City Apartments. Proceed there at once. Cover all exits. Pick up Charles Danford and companion. This is all.
Well, it's good you go there first, Mr. Britt. Otherwise, Danford not be there when police arrive.
Yes. Evidently, they found the hideout and caught the others asqueal on Danford.
How you come to suspect Danford?
A slight matter of time, Kato. He said Renton left about 5 minutes before five. Axford said it was after 5 o'clock when Renton phoned from his office.
Oh, I see.
Danford didn't want the police to know the office force had already left and that he was alone with Renton, showing that he was the only one who could have overheard his call to Inspector Evans. Well, all's well that ends well. Even if I did almost stick my neck in a noose by underrating Danford's smartness. Well, take me home, Kato. Britt Reed has to sleep off a case of nerves over the narrow escape of the Green Hornet.
Green Hornet still at large. Cut the let's be. Cut the...
copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious.
The Green Hornet, an episode entitled The Quiz Program Clue, from November 17th, 1946, on ABC. George W. Trendle and Fran Stryker created two other radio series at WXYZ in Detroit in the 1930s, The Lone Ranger and Challenge of the Yukon. And there was a family link between The Lone Ranger and The Green Hornet. In a November 1947 broadcast called Too Hot to Handle, it was revealed that Britt Reed was the grand-nephew of The Lone Ranger. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. This is program number 1624 in the series. If you want to get in touch, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com and our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. We'll wrap up the hour with some comedy, and we'll listen to one of the most famous comedy duos of all time, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Getting their start on vaudeville, the duo are best remembered for their many feature films, but they had much success on radio and eventually television. Making their radio debut in 1938 on the Kate Smith Hour, they were part of the Chase and Sanborn Hour in 1941 with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, their own radio series premiering in 1942 on NBC. This broadcast is from February 15th of 1945 on NBC. This, however, is an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast of the show with special guest Rudy Valley. It's their adaptation of Jack and the Beanstalk.
The Abbott and Costello Program.
About time you got here, Costello. This is going to be a big night on our program. I've invited Rudy Valley to be our guest.
Rudy Valley?
Yep.
But his program follows our program. You mean to tell me he's going to be on our program and then sing for a half hour on his own program?
What's wrong
with... That means he'll be on the air for a whole hour.
What's wrong with that?
His nose is going to be awfully tired.
Now, Costello. Rudy Valley does not sing through his nose. That's false.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know he had a false nose.
He hasn't got a false nose. It's the rumor that's false.
The rumor is false?
Certainly.
And why does he take in that kind of rumor?
No, he doesn't take in rumors, Lou. Some people say that Rudy Valley sings through his nose, and I found out it was a false rumor.
Oh, you mean Rudy's a ventriloquist?
No, he's not a ventriloquist.
Then why has he got a rumor singing through his nose?
Costello, there's no rumor singing through his nose. When I say rumor, I don't mean a rumor like a baller. The kind of rumor I mean is spreading false tales.
The rumor is spreading a false tale?
That's right. That I gotta see. See what?
I'd like to see Valley sing it through his false nose while his rumor sits there wagging his false tail.
Look, Costello, for the last time I'm trying to tell you there's a false tail on Valley's nose.
Oh, now he's got a tail on his nose.
Costello, please.
Who's he rooming with? Mickey Mouse?
Will you stop talking like an idiot?
Look, Abbott, tell me what thing. Rudy Valley's got a nose, hasn't he?
Yes.
And he sings through his nose, don't he?
No, that's a rumor.
Does the rumor sing?
No.
Then what is he doing in his nose?
The rumor is not in his nose. The rumor is on his nose.
Where some people won't go to find a place to live.
Quiet, quiet. Hey, quiet, Costello. Now, that may be Rudy Valley now. Come in.
Ah, good evening, gentlemen. I am Professor Melonhead.
Melonhead, eh? And you look it, too. but tap this guy on the skull and see if he's right.
Costello, behave yourself. What can we do for you, Professor?
Sir, I'm Mr. Rudy Valley's cultured advisor. Yes, sir, it is my duty to investigate the mentality of those with whom Mr. Valley comes in contact. You see, Mr. Valley only associates with eyebrows.
Eyebrows?
Yes.
I can see that. Your brow runs all the way back to the back of your neck. Yes. That is a beautiful head of skin.
All right. Please,
who
Costello.
Who tightens it for you?
Costello, please.
I should say, who shines it?
Never mind that, please.
It's a lovely polish.
All right. The man is bald. That's not his fault. Just what do you have in mind? Yes.
Not only bald, but bold.
All right.
He's a bold.
Yes.
Something else.
He's a professor, yes. By the way, what do you have in mind, Professor?
Professor
Melonhead.
I have come here especially to improve Mr. Lucas Devil's diction so that he will be fit to converse with Mr. Valley. Now, you, sir, I know. You're Mr. Bud Abbott, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know him, then you should know me.
Oh, of course I know you. I never forget a
face.
What is that thing? Oh, a face, of course. You see, my dear boy, you are proof positive of the Darwinian theory of evolution. And I'll prove it to you. First in evolution came what? The primeval ooze, then the amoeba, then the ape, chimpanzee, orangutan, gorilla, then the Pithecanthropus erectus, the Neanderthal man, the Java man, the Free Imagine man, the missing link, then you, and then the human race.
Abbott, I am about to plug a melon.
Professor, I'm afraid that Costello resents your remarks.
He's right. Abbott is absolutely right. I resemble those remarks.
Resemble? My. What English? And you expect to entertain Mr. Valley, a man of infinite culture, the antithesis of everything you misrepresent, resemble? The moment I use polysyllabic conversation, Mr. Costello, you commit a faux pas. Why do you attempt intelligent repartee in the extemporaneous manner when your intelligence quotient is minus nil, sir? Why don't you admit to the status of a non-compass mentis non-entity?
That's a lie! I never seen with the back room door without unless it's locked or unlocked or something.
Mr. Costello, that is a deliberate misconception, and I accentuate the positive. Why, any word of more than one syllable ruins your equilibrium. Costello, you don't even know what a syllable is, do you?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what a syllable is?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us, what's a syllable?
A syllable.
I'll give you a chance to tell us. What's a syllable?
A syllable.
Now, speak right up and tell it, ladies and gentlemen.
A syllable.
Everybody knows what it is. Now, we want to know whether you know what it is or not.
I know what it is.
That's fine. Go ahead and speak up.
A syllable.
Take your time. Don't rush.
A syllable.
Don't hurry yourself now.
A syllable.
You do know what it is, of course.
Well, let me say it!
That's it. One word at a time.
I'm talking too much, ain't I?
Now, go ahead. Tell the folks what's a syllable.
You
don't mind if I get a word in here, do you?
Look, go ahead. I'm kind of gabby, ain't I?
All right. Now, what is a syllable?
A syllable
is a sound, right?
See what I mean?
Yes. A sound formed by letters of the alphabet placed in juxtaposition one to the other. Now, how many letters in the alphabet? Do you know?
It's about...
No, there's not about. There's a definite number. How many letters in the alphabet?
35, maybe?
No.
34?
No, there are not 34. Now, for example, let's go right here. Now, the letters of the alphabet placed in juxtaposition form what? They form syllables, right? Now, how many syllables in a one-syllable word?
One.
A two-syllable word?
Two.
A four-syllable word?
Three.
No. Of course, the middle syllable of four... What's the middle syllable in a four-syllable word?
The middle syllable?
The middle syllable. What is it?
That's
the middle syllable?
That's...
There is no middle syllable.
I'll put one there!
That's the trouble with you, Mr. Costello, you see? The trouble is your enunciation, your grammatical construction. When you put the past participle in the subjunctive mood, you inadvertently split your infinitive. Now, when you split the infinitive, what happens to your predicate?
You pull the predicate down so the infinitive won't show.
I'll tell you, my dear boy, in two words, exactly what's wrong with Lou Costello. Your reasoning capacity is infinitesimally inadequate. You're becoming more and more ridiculously insipid every moment, and your inherent miscalculations, together with that, you have a very irascible way of displaying before cultured ladies and gentlemen your inveterate propensities and your ridiculous idiosyncrasies. You cause chagrin and consternation, I may say, amongst your most ubiquitous friends, if you should happen to be possessed of a friend, which I doubt. Now, do you know what you are?
Yes.
What?
I'm a period to a lousy conversation.
Freddie Rich with a wonderful arrangement of The Very Thought of You.
Is working with tonight?
Yes, I'm Bud Abbott, and this is my partner, Lou Costello.
All right, boys, bring in the screen and place it in front of Abbott and Costello.
Now, wait a minute, lady. What's the idea of putting us behind a screen?
It's made of antiseptic gauze. Mr. Valley doesn't want to be contaminated by you two bums.
Who does that guy Valley think he is? He must think he's Artinus.
Artinus? What is Artinus?
Sinatra, spelled backwards.
Costello, you're jealous of Rudy because he's a great ladies' man.
And by the way, I got to talk to him about that, too, Abbott.
What do you mean?
He's just stealing my women.
Stealing your women?
Yes. I don't mind him grabbing off those 18-year-old girls. But when he starts fooling around with the dames over 65, he's cutting in on my territory.
Nonsense, Costello.
And yours, too.
Look, Rudy Valley can't help it if women like him. He has such beautiful wavy hair.
Why shouldn't he have wavy hair? He sleeps all night with his head in the Venetian blind.
You want to answer the door, Lou, or not?
Yes,
I do. Go ahead.
All right, stand back. I think it must be Valley. Come in.
Good evening, gentlemen. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Valley's personal business manager. I am Eustace P. Dink.
Dink?
Dink.
Did you say Dink?
Yes, Dink, Dink, Dink.
Dink, Dink, Dink went the trolley. The crank, crank, crank went the trolley.
Quiet, Costello. Please. Costello, ask Mr. Dink if he'd like a drink.
Okay. I'll fix Mr. Drink a dink. I mean a dink a drink. I mean I'll get a drink for drink a dink. I'll bring him a sandwich.
Please, gentlemen, I just came over here to leave this pail of melted butter. Mr. Valley wants you to pour the butter on the script.
Pour melted butter on the script? What's the idea?
Mr. Valley likes plenty of butter on his corn.
Hold me back, Abbott, before I give Mr. Dink a clunk on the conch with a crunch.
All right. Forget about that, Costello, and pour the drinks.
Okay, Abbott, I'll take your salt glass.
No, you don't. That drink stinks.
What?
I said that drink stinks.
Must be the cheap gin you've been using.
Never mind that. Go ahead.
I'll forget about the drinks, and let's get down to business. I brought over Mr. Valley's head writer to put some jokes in the script. Will you step in here, CB?
I am so dandy. As a gag man, I am dandy. Woo, woo, woo.
Quiet. It's Kissel.
Yes, yes.
Now, wait a minute, Kissel.
What's the matter?
You don't write jokes for Valley.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just wrote a joke this morning. Listen to this one. It's going to factor you. What's got four wheels and flies?
All right, I'll ask you. What has four wheels and flies?
A garbage wagon. I'm killing myself.
Saving me the trouble.
Now, wait. Now, wait a minute, Costello. Yes. Kitzel may have some better jokes. You can't tell.
But I know a better joke than he does. Listen, Kitzel. Yes. What happened to the rat that crawled into the barrel of molasses?
What happened to the rat who crawled into our barrel of molasses? That fits me.
Stuck the other rat, too.
It stuck the other rat, too.
Like it?
No.
Love, Kitzel, did you bring some jokes over for our script?
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, here is one joke what Mr. Valley insists that you put in. What is the difference between an animal with long horns, a 10-carat diamond ring, and a jackass?
No, now, Kitzel, please. Everybody knows that joke.
Well, all right, you're so smart.
What I mean, an animal with long horns is a reindeer.
You're right.
And a 10-carat diamond is two deer.
Uh-huh. That's right, Abbott. But what about the jackass?
That's you, deal.
That's just a rumor. I'm wearing a false tail.
Come in.
Step aside. Step aside, everybody. Mr. Valley is about to enter the studio. Everybody, prepare yourself. You too, fat boy.
What do you want me to do?
Please remove your hat and shoes, kneel down, and face the east.
Now listen, Valley. What do we got? Trap doors here? Oh, hello. I mean, what's the idea of coming in here singing?
My time and your time.
All right. Take it easy.
My time and your time.
Wait, just a minute. Take it easy, Lou. My time. Lou. Please.
Better.
It's your
please. Lou, now don't insult our guest.
Will you two ushers please take your places in the aisles where you belong?
Abbott, thank you, fellas. Everybody wasn't saving. Let me get that guy now. I'll knock the rumor right out of his nose.
Costello, that's no way to talk to Rudy Valley. He came over here to help us with our program.
Yes, I was led to believe I was welcome, so I pranced right over here.
Well, you can pick up your lint and prance right out again.
We know a lot of you like the sound of the words XGI. We can't think about it too much at present, but it sounds good. But being an XGI will mean other things, too. For example, it'll cost a bit of money. The Retail Menswear Association says the average XGI will have to spend some $300 just to get by during his first civilian year. There'll be furniture for your home. You'll probably want and need a new car. You may want to travel. Well, these and a dozen other items will be cropping up to hit you below the money belt. That's why it's wise to save now. Hang on to every dollar you can spare. Invest your extra cash in GI bonds or soldiers' deposits. The easy way to save is the regular monthly savings plan. See your first sergeant or company clerk and work out a savings plan to meet your rate of pay.
Costello, I asked Rudy to come over here, and he's an old friend of mine.
Indeed I am. How well I remember when Bud and I were barefoot boys in tan. We used to go camping together in the forest. Many's the time that we roasted ham over an open fire.
I can smell the ham roasting now.
Yes. You'd better step back from those hot footlights.
Look, Rudy. just how did you plan to build up our Thursday night audience?
Well, between us, we've got to win over every member of every family. I know that all the men will listen to you, Bud, and naturally all the women and children will listen to me.
If there are any cats or dogs listening, this is Lou Costello.
I don't feel that way, Costello. I've written a little play for you to do tonight in which you play the starring role. The play is called Jack and the Beanstalk. I'll be back in a few minutes with the play.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Rudy, isn't that the play where the goose lays the golden egg?
That's right.
Get your baskets ready, folks. We'll be laying them in the aisles tonight.
Lovely Connie Haynes sings, Accentuate the Positive.
Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm against. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You gotta accentuate the positive, even money the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You've got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith, the pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we'd better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present a stirring drama entitled Jack and the Beanstalk, starring Lou Costello in the title role, assisted by Rudy Valley and Bud Abbott. As Costello is the head man, he naturally gets the fat part. And let us listen to this fathead.
All right, Costello, take your place at the microphone while Rudy sets the scene.
That's very sweet of you, Bud, to ask me to set the scene. I didn't come over here for that purpose. Costello is the star of the play, but of course, if you insist...
Who's insisting?
Thank you. Remember, Costello, I'm only here to help you. Now, let's get on with the story. Ladies and gentlemen, once upon a time, there lived a poor old lady and her son, Jack.
That's me, folks. I'm the star.
That's right. Jack and his mother had no food to eat in the house, so Jack's mother said to him,
Jack, my son, we have nothing to eat and we have no money.
Just a minute, Rudy. Are you playing a part of my mother?
Of course, Costello. Anything to help you out.
Oh, for a minute, I thought you was butting into my play.
Of course.
Okay.
Now, the mother goes on to say,
Jack, my son, take our cow into the city and sell it. We need the money.
So little Jack goes trudging down the road with the cow. Clump, 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 moo, moo, moo.
Now, wait a minute. Are you doing a sound effects, too?
Certainly. I'm here to help you. I'm putting you across.
You're putting me across the barrel. When do I talk?
Be patient, Costello. You'll be on in a minute.
Get me on while I'm still young.
All right.
Now, as Jack trudges down the road with the cow, he meets a funny old man who stops him and says,
Good morning, Jack. How do you feel this fine morning?
I feel...
You're looking good, too. What have you got there on the end of that rope? It's a cow, eh? It's... Pretty good, poor-looking cow. Reminds me of the cow I used to have. Yes. She gave buttermilk, of course.
But
what else can a poor cow give but her milk? What kind of a cow is it, son? Don't tell me it's a Jersey cow. I can tell by her license plate. I'm killing the people.
And you're murdering me, too. Ah, but will you get the guy out of here?
Costello, please don't interrupt me while I'm speaking.
This guy is more repulsive than my Uncle Artie Stebbins.
Look, Costello, Rudy is only here to help you.
Now, let's get back to the story.
Okay. Now, my mother told me to take this cow...
Please, Costello, the old man isn't through speaking.
I'm sorry, I talk too much, excuse me. I'm as bad as that secretary you sent over.
Oh, that's all right. Now, son, let's get down to business. What do you aim to do with that cow?
Sell it.
Do what?
Sell it.
That's it, Costello, get your lines out. I want you to be heard.
Sell it!
Costello! You said that
sell
line
it!
Once. Costello, you said that line once.
I know I did. I like the line. I may not get another one. I want to sell it!
Costello, please. You're stopping the play. Go on, Rudy.
All right, son. You said you all want to sell that cow. I'll give you 5 magic beans for the cow.
5 beans? My mother will kill me if I only bring home 5 beans.
Just a moment. Who's playing the part of your mother?
You are.
Well, if I'm your mother, am I going to kill you?
No.
I'm only here to help you. I'm your friend.
I'd like to have you for a dead cousin.
Well, anyway, Jack takes the 5 magic beans and trudges back to his house. Clump, clump, clump. The cow goes away with the old man. Moo, moo, moo.
The cow's got more lines than me.
Costello, please. Can you be quiet?
Go ahead. Put something in here,
Mike. Be quiet.
When Jack's mother discovers that he has sold the cow for 5 beans, she throws the beans out the window, not realizing their magic power, and then sends Jack to bed without his supper. The little fellow climbs into bed.
Wait a minute. Before I climb into bed, I got to take off my shoes. 1, 2, 3.
Costello, do you wear 3 shoes?
Yeah, since my last line, I grew another foot. Now, Abbott, all these people out here, they come to see me. When do I start to do some acting?
Right now, Costello. You wake up in the morning and look out the window.
That's a nice piece of business.
The magic beans your mother threw out the window have grown into a huge beanstalk that reaches up into the sky. Now, Costello, this is your big moment. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Costello will now climb the beanstalk.
Oh, boy. At last, I'm going to act. Here I go.
Well, Costello, you don't have to breathe so loud.
Yes, I do. I want the audience to know I'm here. Watch me climb.
Costello, don't overplay it. Don't pant so loud.
Look, Valley, you've stolen everything else. I ain't going to lose my pants.
All right. That's enough climbing, Costello. I'll give you the rest of the story very quickly. At the top of the beanstalk, you meet a big giant.
I'll bet that's you.
How did you get?
I'm quick at those things.
I-L-P-5 full thumb and chase after you. You eat the ground, cut down the beanstalk, and I crash to the ground and lay there, dying.
That's the best thing to happen all night. Now, all of the rest of the lines are mine.
But I don't die instantly.
You wouldn't. You're a stubborn type.
Now, Costello, would you deprive Rudy of a few dying words?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Go ahead, Rudy. Give us your last word.
Very well. A little sad music, please, Freddy. My time is your time.
Wait a minute, will you? Will you wait a minute? Hold it! Stop on!
Wait a minute. Well, what's the matter, Costello?
You were right, Abbott. It sounds like the room with the false tail is holding Valley's nose. That's right.
Abbott and Costello, as originally broadcast February 15th, 1945. That does it for this hour of the program. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.